Grant Duff, 1866-1948. I saw many Western visitors come to the ashram after reading or hearing about the Maharishi. Of all of these foreigners, none impressed me as much as Grant Duff. On his first visit, January 1935, I remember him asking if he could hear the Vedas recited. A chair was placed opposite Bhagavan's couch for him while the priests chanted. At the conclusion of the chanting, he looked at Bhagavan and said with deep feeling, "Magnificent." Bhagavan also openly spoke of his virtues. Rarely did I hear Bhagavan speak about anyone like that. My Reminiscences by Balarama Reddy. A distinguished Scottish diplomat, poet, a world traveler, philosopher, and above all, a sincere seeker of truth, Grant Duff studied life and literature intensely for decades before he discovered in Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharishi the ultimate aim and purpose of life personified. Grant Duff's actual given name was Douglas Ainslie, where he was born and the peculiar circumstances under which he was given this name is explained in his 1922 autobiography titled Adventures Social and Literary. I was born on 16th of December 1866 at 127 Rue Les Perros. My father had come to Paris from St. Petersburg to be Secretary of Embassy to Lord Cowley, who was then British Ambassador. This Mr. Douglas Ainslie was my father's maternal uncle and had just left him the whole of his property, Delagadi Castle in Aberdeenshire and Blavie in Moray, on condition of his adopting the surname of Ainslie in place of Grant Duff and calling his eldest son Douglas. But I have more than once regretted the surname of Grant Duff borne by my father and father's father, Grant Duff of Eden, an historian and governor of the Maharathas from Satara for more than 12 years under the East India Company. My late uncle, my father's brother, Sir Mountstuart Elphinstone Grant Duff, GCIE, GCSI, to whom I shall refer later, also distinguished himself in India as governor of Madras, and I myself have always felt a strong inclination to study that country, an inclination which did not find favor with my parents, who refused for too much love to allow me to visit India at the age of 17 at my uncle's invitation from Madras. I have often wished that I had made earlier acquaintance with the great country, which my own blood has done something to consolidate with the British Empire. In the same autobiography, he recounts how, as the son of privileged aristocrats, he lived an idyllic childhood life at Delagadi Castle in Scotland. http://www.delagadicastle.com. He takes us through his education, travels to distant lands, diplomatic appointments, associations with distinguished personalities, etc. At one place, he even appears to respond to an inner call from the Orient revealed when he writes, "I am convinced that in India is knowledge obtained by concentration of thought and possibly other means of psychophysical character, which transcends anything of which we in Europe are aware. He seems to have been a lifelong bachelor who sought truth through philosophy and poetry. He lectured on Hegel and was so taken up by the philosophy of the Italian Benedetto Croce that he, uninvited, one fine day walked up to his door in Italy and knocked. Duff and Croce immediately connected intellectually and spiritually, from which a literary collaboration ensued, resulting in Duff translating 12 of Croce's volumes from Italian to English. When, at the beginning of 1935, Grant Duff finally traveled to Madras, Professor K. Swaminathan was appointed to take him around his college and other places. The professor was much enamored by the philosophy of Benedetto Croce and was delighted to have the company of the esteemed translator of his work. But when Grant Duff, out of the blue, asked him whether he had met the Maharishi, the professor was surprised and taken aback. Here was a man that was the English translator of the Italian philosopher I so greatly admired, and he is asking me if I have seen the Maharishi. I was much ashamed, for I had not gone to see him. Grant Duff must have spent at least a year in India on this visit, which he could never repeat, in spite of writing in the 1940s that he was hoping to fly to India soon. While in India, besides visiting the Maharishi at least three times, he studied Sanskrit in Uttakamand for 6 months. Known as a diplomat, born into a distinguished family, intimately connected with India, invitations and opportunities to visit places throughout the country must have been numerous. But from the start, it was clear that his primary reason to visit India was to seek spiritual illumination, which he ultimately experienced at Ramanashramam. He is first mentioned in Talks with Sri Ramana Maharishi, talk number 16, on 19th January 1935. Mr. Douglas Ainslie, Mr. Grant Duff, an aristocratic English gentleman, 70 years old, actually he was 68, nephew of a former governor of Madras, an author and poet, formerly attached to the British legation in Athens, Paris. De Hague had come to Madras as a guest of Government House. He came to see Maharishi with a letter of introduction from Paul Brunton. Next day, he returned and remained a little less than an hour in the hall. On both days, practically no words were exchanged, only gaze meeting gaze. His habits and abstemious, he remains without food for any kind till 1 p.m. and then lunches. He is said to have coffee and biscuits in the evening and retires without any further food. He has been a bachelor all along, walks a few miles a day on an empty stomach, speaks little, and is very graceful in his movements. His voice is low and soft, and his words appear to come from the heart. He has friends among whom might be counted the late Sir John Woodruff, Sir Sarvepalli Radhakrishnan, and Professor Thomas, Sanskrit professor in Oxford University. He expressed a desire to hear the Vedas. On Monday, a letter arrived from Riga, and the questions therein happened to coincide with the questions the European visitor had asked relating to the existence of departed souls and how best to serve them. The reply sent to Riga was read out to him. Tamil songs from Maharishis, truth revealed, and the Vedas were repeated in his presence. He considered the recitations magnificent. He came the next afternoon and, to the wonder of others, had an experience on the previous night which he repeated to Maharishi. It was that he had seen something like an electric light within himself in the heart center on the right side. And he added further that he had seen the sun shining within. Maharishi smiled a little and then had a translation of Atmavidya, self-knowledge, read out to him, wherein there is the cryptic saying that realization consists in reaching the Atman, self, which is the expanse of consciousness, chid human, as distinguished from the mind, which is the expansion of chitta human. This explanation appealed to him. Speaking of him later, Maharishi remarked, "Just think of an old man of 70, not choosing to live peacefully in his own house on the income he had earned. How intense has been his earnestness that he has left his native land, dared a sea voyage of 6,000 miles and faced the hardships of long railway journeys in a foreign land, ignorant of the language, undergoing the vicissitudes of a lonely life, submitting to the inclemency of a hot climate in surroundings uncongenial and unaccustomed to him. He could have been happy in his own house. It is his longing for internal peace that has brought him here. Quite so. The intensity of his earnestness is revealed by his illuminating experiences here within 4 days of his arrival, people say.